It's time for Making Sausage on the Thursday Morning Show. This is the time of the week where we talk with our commentators like DFLer Colleen Nardone. We chat with our elected officials and we talk with people who are involved in the political and legislative process. We have these conversations because people like you support KEXE, KBXE Community Radio. It's our Take 5 membership drive. We need you to make that phone call now. 800-662-5799. Today we're meeting Quinn Nystrom. Quinn grew up in the Brainerd area from a very early age. She became an advocate, first on behalf of her brother and then herself. She's been a Baxter City Council member. She's run for the Minnesota Legislature and has won numerous awards, traveled the country speaking about living with diabetes. She's written a book that's called If I Kiss You, Will I Get Diabetes? And most recently, she was in the Star Tribune. She spoke to the Minnesota Legislature about the life and death situation that the extraordinarily high cost of insulin is placing on more than 300,000 people in Minnesota alone that have diabetes. Quinn Nystrom joins us now. Quinn, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Heidi.
So you were an advocate at a very early age. Tell us your story.
Yeah, I got involved when I was 10 years old when my younger brother, Will, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. It was a shock to our whole family when he was diagnosed. Nobody in our immediate or extended family had type 1 or type 2 diabetes. And so it really was a shock when my family told my older brother and I that he had type 1 diabetes. And there was something about me as his big older sister that promised him when he was in the hospital right after his diagnosis that said, I will do whatever I can to help improve your life with diabetes and help find a cure for diabetes. I didn't know where that road would take me, but 22 plus years later, here I am still advocating for the cause and speaking out about it. Sadly, 2.5 years after his diagnosis, I myself was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 13, and that made the issue even more personal to me because I knew what it was like to live every single day with this chronic, incurable illness, and I think that really even personalized the issue even more to me when I was out advocating and speaking out on the issue.
You know, there's a lot of misconceptions about diabetes, and you travel the country talking with folks about diabetes. What stands out to you?
I think the number one misconception that I still run into in 2019 is there are so many people that put the blame of diabetes on the person with diabetes. They believe that it's our fault that we have the disease. And so, one, I always say, first of all, people with type 1 diabetes, like my younger brother and I, it's an autoimmune disease. So there's nothing that my younger brother and I could have done to prevent getting diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. But furthermore, with type 2 diabetes, which we often hear more about because it makes up about 90% of the 30 million Americans with diabetes, sure, is there a component about obesity and lifestyle that plays into a diagnosis? Yes, in some cases. But there's about 7 risk factors for getting type 2 diabetes, like genetics, about age. There's a hereditary component, ethnicity, about if you had diabetes during pregnancy, depending on what gender you are. So there's a lot of different components other than just are you overweight. You know, I think we have 30% or something Americans that are overweight. Well, only about 10% of the population has diabetes. So there's not a direct correlation to that. And oftentimes I think people in the U.S. think you just can eat your way in and out of a diabetes diagnosis, and that's just not the case.
So, Quinn, how does diabetes affect you on a daily basis?
It affects me every single minute of every single day. The thing with diabetes is you just don't get to take a day off from it. From the moment that I was diagnosed, the reality of my life was having to check my blood sugar, measure every amount of food that was going into my body. It was having to dose insulin to know the right amount of insulin that I was going to take. It was about making sure that my blood sugars were in range every minute of every day, going to doctor's appointments. And I think now in 2019, furthering that burden is the high cost that it takes just to keep somebody with diabetes alive because, you know, insulin is not a cure for diabetes. It's simply my life support. And without insulin, I don't survive.
We're talking with Quinn Nystrom. She's from Baxter. She recently testified at the Minnesota legislature about the cost of insulin as they try to work through some bills that have to do with it. Let's talk about the costs and the realities of life for many diabetics.
Yeah, so when my younger brother and I were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes back in the late 90s, what's interesting about that is actually when the current form of the insulin that we now use came out, okay, in its current form. You know, insulin was invented back in the 20s, but in its best form, it came out in the late 90s. When it came to market, it came out at about $20 a vial. And again, I understand inflation goes up every year. You know, I didn't expect it to stay at $20 a vial. But in the last 20 years, the price has increased 1,200%. And now for one vial of insulin, it costs around $300. To put that in perspective, a person with diabetes goes through about 2 to 4 vials a month. And so the cost of it is unaffordable to most Minnesotans and to most Americans. And so the price has just continued to increase year after year after year. And it's become a real crisis where now 1 in 4 people with diabetes report that they have to ration their insulin because they can't afford it.
So what kind of a world do we live in if people can't afford to stay alive?
You know, to me, it is such a sad state that we live in one of the most wealthiest countries in the world, and people cannot afford a medication that came out in the 20s and was sold for $1 to the University of Toronto because the person who invented it wanted it to belong to the world. He did not want to make a profit for it. And now these three pharmaceutical companies who monopolize this want to make a profit off of people who have to have it to stay alive because it's not an optional medication. So every type 1 has to be on insulin to stay alive, and there are a lot of type 2s who have to be on it. So it's about 7.5 million Americans who are dependent on this medication, and it's an absolute crisis we're in. And that's why, you know, I'm pleading with the legislature at the state level that something has to be done. Unfortunately, at the federal level, we've just seen a lot of partisan bickering, and we've not been able to get any inroads made on legislation there. And so, you know, I took my fight to the state level with a plethora of other great diabetes advocates to try to see if we could get something done.
What's the bickering about? Seriously,
I mean, that's too big a question.
Well,
I know, John.
But what is the feeling that you get when you testify and you talk to these people? Are they sympathetic? Do they blow you off? Is it something they can't accomplish? Do they bicker?
Well, if you want me to be frank with you,
yeah, I do.
Which, I mean, we're on live radio, right?
Right.
Why not? I'll just be frank with you. The biggest thing that we come up against is the pharmaceutical lobbyists. The moment that we try to get a bill in front, you know, authored with the best intentions, and again, all we're asking for is an insulin price transparency bill. We just want to know why has this price gone up so much? Because as soon as we ask that question, everybody's pointing the finger at each other. The pharmaceutical companies are blaming the pharmacy benefit managers, the health insurance companies. It's the shell game, right, to see what shell the shiny object is under. And we're saying, let's put this bill in place so we know why this price has gone up so much. You know, if it's not your fault, then what's there to hide? Well, unfortunately, these lobbyists, as we know, have so much money they have so much influence in our elections, which, again, I'm so against. We need to get that dark money out of politics because they're very influential. And, again, you know, I may be, you know, a passionate advocate, but I have a full-time job that I have to work in order to just afford my insulin. It's hard to combat these lobbyists. And, you know, last week when I was at the House testifying in front of the Health and Human Services Policy Committee, you know, this lobbyist, who I'm sure they pay a lot of money for, came, sat down right next to us at this committee hearing and blatantly lied to this committee, you know, in front of the legislators. And it's, again, who do they believe at the end of the day? I hope they believe me and the other advocates. But again, the lobbyists are sort of this well-oiled machine from the pharma companies. And that's another sad state that we have in our country.
So tell us about the bill that you were testifying for.
Yeah, so there were two bills specifically that I was testifying for last week. One is the Alex Smith emergency insulin bill. What that bill would do is, if a person with diabetes goes to the pharmacy and is refilling their insulin and cannot afford the cost, because, again, sometimes you go in there and it's $600, $800, $1,200 to pick up your monthly or 90-day supply of insulin, and sometimes people cannot afford that, right? Most people can't afford that cost. And a lot of times what people have been doing is then they leave the pharmacy and they walk away with no insulin, with their life-saving medication. This bill would allow for a 90-day emergency supply to be dispensed by the pharmacist to that patient in those instances once a year, on a once-a-year basis. And so it would really help save a life. And again, the bill is being named after Alex Smith, who was a young man in Richfield who died back in 2017 from rationing his insulin. And again, he went into the pharmacy to fill his insulin, could not afford it, even though, you know, he had a decent job as a restaurant manager making $40,000 a year, but he couldn't afford the steep cost of insulin. So he was forced to ration his insulin and died of diabetes ketoacidosis, you know, several days after he left that pharmacy, when that was a death that could have been prevented. So that was bill number one that I was testifying for, because it's something that we could easily prevent in our state. And again, insulin isn't that expensive to manufacture, and it's been around since the 20s. The second bill is a bill that Representative Lori Halverson is the chief author for. And again, it's looking at the cost of insulin, and it's talking about price transparency, and it's saying that we need to have an independent review board where if the cost of insulin is unreasonable, that we need to be having a third party in our government look at that cost and say, why does this cost keep coming up? And is that cost justified? And again, if it is, okay. But in a lot of cases, the price increase is not justified, and it's being forced on everyday people who can't afford it. And so I think these bills are critical to trying to combat the issue that we're facing right now and that so many Minnesotans are facing, where, again, they can't afford this life-saving medication.
So do you feel you're being heard?
You know, to be honest, I do feel like we are being heard. I think that the issue took, sadly, this issue took some innocent lives being lost to be heard. And that's the really sad thing to me, is that it took people dying from rationing their insulin to get this issue attention. And my concern is that if we do not act now, and we don't act with urgency, and that the Minnesota House and Senate do not act now, because again, we've had hearings now on the House side, but we have yet to get, as of this morning at least, we have yet to get one hearing on the Senate side for any of these bills. And as we know, the deadlines are looming here, and we have called into those committee chairs, to Senator Benson and to some other senators to say, will you please at least have a committee hearing on these issues? And we've not gotten a yes. And that, you know, that's a little frightening for us because, again, the bills have to be heard in the House and the Senate.
If you feel strongly about this issue, you can contact your legislator. It's their job to listen to you. It's easy to find who represents you. You can just do a search for the Minnesota legislature and you enter in your address. You'll find out who your senator, who your representative is, and you can get in touch with them. Quinn, that's something you're used to doing. Do you have advice for folks who, you know, have never really made that contact or don't know if their voice would ever be heard?
My biggest piece of advice to everybody listening to this is your voice matters. Your voice will be heard. But in order for your voice to be heard, you have to pick up the phone or send a message to your representative or senator that ultimately you are their boss because you vote them in or out of office. And they need to hear from you. And if they don't hear from you on the issues that matter most to you, they will just make assumptions on issues. And they may not take strong action on issues if they do not hear from their constituents. And I think a lot of people that I hear from, they don't realize how easy it really is to just pick up the phone and to call their state rep or their state senator's office and to simply introduce themselves, say that they're a constituent, say 2 to 3 sentences of why they're passionate about this issue of insulin affordability. A lot of times they don't even need to know the bill number, just letting their representative and senator know that they are passionate about the diabetes-related bills this session. If they want to know the specific bills that we're working on, they can certainly send me an email. My email is MNInsulinForAll4 So MNInsulinForAll@gmail.com. And I'm happy to give people the specific bill numbers if they want to track those or if they want to mention those in their calls or emails. I'm happy to be a resource in any way possible. But just so people know that, that their story matters, that their voice matters, but that it has to be heard by somebody for it to matter.
You can find out how to connect with Quinn as well at her website. It's quinnnystrom.com. Thanks so much for your time today. We wish you the best.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's Making Sausage on KEXE, KBXE, connecting you to government and politics in northern Minnesota. If you learn something when you tune in, if you've been pushed to contact your elected officials by what you hear, we ask that you support KEXE, KBXE now. Take 5. Call us.
800-662-5799 and pledge online at kaxe.org. Scott Hall here, going to take your call.